Today, we will start study page 36, Mind in Terms of Phenomena. Before I go further, let's say the point which we have learned in study. Have to say something for the new people here. So far, we have learned about the truth. In this textbook, the truth, when truth is seen in terms of all sentient beings, in other words, human beings, truth can be found in everything. Human life. And human life in the table, in the mountains, in the skies, in glass, in the glasses, in the pebbles, in everything. That's why the truth is called the mind of all sentient beings. In Japanese, Shijo Shin. The mind of all. Today, we will start study page 36, Mind in Terms of Phenomena. Before I go further, let's say the point. Which we have learned in study. I have to say something for the new people here. So far, we have learned about the truth. In this textbook, the truth, when truth is seen in terms of all sentient beings, in other words, human beings, truth can be found in everything. Human life, and human life in the table, in the mountains, in the skies, in glass, in the glasses, in the pebbles, in everything. That's why the truth is called the mind of all sentient beings. In Japanese, Shijo Shin, the mind of all sentient beings, because the truth is found in everything. But if it is true, the truths are, there are many kinds of truths, what you can find in many things, in everything. But truth is one, because truth itself is one. That's why, in terms of the truth itself, truth is called one mind. One mind. Okay. So two different terms: one mind and the mind of all sentient beings. But different terms, but it means the truth. Particular Buddhism, we use the mind for the truth for all sentient beings, because the mind, in common sense, mind is something we have, but this mind is kind of a fixed consciousness, but something more than six consciousnesses, that is human mind. The human mind operates in a broad scale. Looking at, taking an object, you can have an object, but before you can pick up an object, your mind will operate in universal perspective quicker. For example, that is intuition. If you see the nature immediately, you can catch, you can have something, even though you don't know what the nature is. So the intuition, intuition is one aspect of the human consciousness. That's why mind operates in the universal perspective before six consciousnesses operate. So it's broad. That's why human consciousness, they can recognize many things. In other words, universe, broadly speaking, universe, whole universe. The whole universe is that which many beings exist simultaneously. So, in Buddhism, all sentient beings are already recognized in human mind. That's why we call all sentient beings. So, all sentient beings are already exist in relation with human, each of you, okay? Regardless of whether your six consciousnesses can see or not, all sentient beings are already in relation with your life. That's why if you say all are already something connected with your life. At that time, we call them all. Otherwise, you cannot call all sentient beings. So, even though you say, I cannot see, I cannot understand another planet which you have never been, but that is, another planet you don't know is already recognize in your mind, saying, I have never been there. So you don't know. This is already, that another planet is already recognized in your mind. Okay, do you understand? So even whatever you say, I can recognize or I cannot recognize. Or you say, I don't know. Whatever you say, all sentient beings are already in your cognition. Okay? Do you understand? Is that alright? So that's why all, we say all. Okay? You have never been to Japan, but Japan is already with you. So that's why Japan is one of the all sentient beings. So without thinking Japan, you cannot think about you, you cannot think about all the United States. So all that is the so-called mind of all sentient beings. So this is always, that's why in Buddhism we use mind. Right? We use the mind. So, mind, one mind. One mind is another term, the truth. The same and one ground. This is one mind. The truth is one. Okay? But truth can be found in everything. But truth is one. And then we have learned that truth itself, there are two kinds of truth. What kind of truth? Do you know that? Do you remember? Do you? Truth?
Yes. absolute, but the two kinds of truth. The truth independent of from the word, from the word. This is the truth itself, So at that time, truth is completely absolute. No confusion, no minds, no colors, no words. Exactly. It is not many, it is not one, it is not all, it is not long, it is not short. It is not something you can add or you can take out, but you can put into something. Or you should believe in or you shouldn't believe in. Whatever you say, it is absolute. It's already there. So absolute, the truth as absolute is something you cannot do anything. That is absolute, okay? Absolute independent from the world. Exactly. Another absolute is, if absolute, the truth is something like that. Well, it's very difficult to teach the truth. It's very difficult to transmit the truth to next others. That's why we need explanation of the truth, explanation of experience of the truth. So that is a truth in terms of words, a truth with no words. At that time, truth is manifested as empty, as an empty. But that emptiness doesn't mean to destroy or to deny the truth itself. But this emptiness is to deny the delusion. Delusion. What is the delusion? Remember the delusion? In this book? From this book? Yes, the defilement stains the... Well, the delusion is, simply speaking, coming from where? From where? Consciousness. Good. What kind of consciousness? But consciousness, what does consciousness do?
Discriminate,
yes. So delusion comes from what? Discriminating mind, yes. Delusion A comes from discriminating mind. Discriminating mind to do what? Taking and choosing. What do you mean? Taking and choosing.
Making
a dichotomy. Dichotomy, that's right. Making dichotomy. Okay? So that is what is called a monen in this book in Japanese. Mo is very cloudy. Cloudy, very cloudy, confused. Very cloudy. And nen means thinking, thought. So we say delusion. So the abider in the discriminating mind, we create the economy of the world. Okay? And then the economy of the world makes your life complicated. it's very difficult to understand as simple as we can. It's very complicated. So that's why they naturally, you cannot handle something in as simple as you can, very naturally you attach to. So attachment comes up. Through discriminating mind, you can create attachment. So that is very naturally how we create synthetic world. So that is dualistic world. So, and the truth in words, depending on the words, the truth is manifested as an emptiness, but that emptiness doesn't destroy or ignore the truth itself, but delusion. Delusion means truth. What do you mean the delusion of the truth? What do you mean? Truth in the word, in words, deny, not truth, delusion. So, delusion, what are they? What is the delusion of the truth? What do you mean a delusion in relation with the truth? Because truth denies delusion. Objectifying experience. Okay, experience of the truth is already something objectified. Right? Do you understand that one? That individual truth, that is already objective. So, that is alright, but it is already your own experience, your own vision of the truth. That's why it is deluded. Because truth is already in front of you, objectified, and that object is reflected in the mirror of the six organs. And then six consciousness join that function operation of the six organs, the object of the truth, and then you judge it. That is the truth. So what did your consciousness judge? Your consciousness judge the truth as it is? Polita.
The truth as the consciousness perceives
it. Yeah, perceive it. But that kind of the truth is what? The real truth or what? Polita. Mm-hmm. Another? The truth is reflected in your mind, in your six organs, and your consciousness judges, think it, take it. What is the truth in your six organs? Duty? Why? Why to do it?
The perfect truth is reflected in an imperfect mirror?
Sure, this fact. Yes. So, truth is what? Real truth?
it's just, it's a reflection.
Reflection, yes. Reflection of the truth. All right? That's why it's delusion. Is that right? That's why it is delusion. So everything we do, all is like that. Okay? Everything. That's why the truth in words denies this, the delusion. Okay? Delusion. But it doesn't deny truth itself. But truth itself is called non-emptiness. Non-emptiness means that truth itself has very rich virtuous quality to help all sentient beings. That is truth itself. Regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, complete beyond human speculation, beyond the discrimination, a sense of discrimination of everything, okay? Anyway, the truth has a great, wonderful, the virtuous quality to help to grow. Human beings, glasses, seasons, anything. So that's why it says non-empty. So, page that is, if you look at the page 32, that is the mind in terms of the absolute. So, that is in this, that truth is described as a truth independent from the world. And this, the absolute independent from the world, is what is called look at the page 32 and the third lines from the bottom, that which is called the essential nature of the mind is unborn and is imperishable. So this is not something born now or yesterday or yesterday. It's always there, always there. If something born very naturally, that is sooner or later imperish, then diminish, destroy, disappear. Okay? Do you understand? If something born, if you say, here, something born, Karagi is born, that means Karagi will die. So that is called born. But truth is not something born or unborn. Complete opposite. That is called this is the essential nature of the mind is unborn and is imperishable. Complete. So complete beyond the category of appearance or disappearance. And the next it explains the same thing. It is only through illusion that all things come to the differentiated if one is free from illusion. Then to him there will be no appearances of objects. Therefore all things from the beginning transcend all forms of verbalization, description, conceptualization, and art in the final analysis, and is differentiated free from alteration and indestructible. Something like this. This is characteristic of the absolute independence from the world. So it's pretty hard to know. That's why in Zen the truth is beyond words. Okay? Beyond the world. But on the other hand, Zen always give us lots of books in the world. So if you know the truth is complete beyond the world, well, you have to anyway transcend it, transmit it to somebody. So the naturally truth can be described in words. That is the next page 34, truth from middle of this page 34. Next, that means there's two aspects is predicated in words. One is that it is too empty. For this aspect can, in the final sense, reveal what is real. The other is that it is too non-empty. For its essence itself is endowed with undefiled and excellent quality. So this is the next part, next page. Anyway, is explanation of this emptiness, truly empty and truly non-empty. So empty is negation of the delusion, but non-empty is anyway excellent, undefiled and excellent versus quality of the truth itself. That's why it's healthy, regardless of whether you understand or not. Anyway, regardless of whether you experience it or not, it always helps us to see the truth. So that is called true mind in terms of the truth. So this time, the mind in terms of phenomena. So, one mind, so far, one mind is seen in terms of the truth. But this time, the one mind is described by phenomena. So, there are two things. One mind described by the mind as truth and the mind as phenomena. The truth and the phenomena. One mind can be seen from the truth and the phenomena. It is just like spring and flower. Spring, and when the spring comes, flowers bloom. But in common sense, you say spring comes first and flowers bloom. But actually, not. Spring and flowers anyway come together. So spring itself is quiet because you don't know what the spring is. But the spring itself is very still and quiet, but the spring is pretty dynamic. Because you feel warm, you feel excited, and you can see the green grasses and flower blooming. So spring operates in everything. Human life and animate beings or inanimate beings. Air, ground, whatever you may go. Spring is constantly operating. It's very dynamic. But on the other hand, what is the spring? You don't know. Spring itself is very quiet. So spring itself is quiet, and still, but it is not separate from flowers and all sentient beings. So spring is present in the flowers and yet goes beyond the flowers. So you may not say that thing comes first and flowers are something added later to spring. This is not real understanding of spring and flowers. So spring and flowers are like just one piece of paper with two aspects. Exactly, this is a relationship between the spring and flowers. This is the relationship between truth and phenomena. So one piece of paper with two aspects. That's why one mind can be described by truth, the truth and phenomena. Because they are already here. So description of the one mind like that is necessary for us because two aspects are already with one mind. If you want to use one piece of paper, you should know which back, which front. Which you should know what you should use. So very naturally, there are discrimination there, back to front. That's why here, one mind is described by mind as truth and the mind as phenomena. Just like Ryokan said, I mentioned very often, the falling leaf, maple leaf, falling leaf, showing back and front, it's falling. Okay, next that goes the new chapter, the mind in terms of phenomena, page 36. First of all, what is the phenomena like? I want to ask you, what is phenomena like? Simply, can you say anything? Or what is the characteristic of phenomena? Can you? What's going on in the phenomenal world?
It's always changing.
Changing, good. Yes. Changing. That is really a characteristic of phenomena. So the mind as phenomena means that the mind as a world which is constantly changing, appearing and disappearing. This is the mind as phenomena. So what is the key? Why does many things change? What make them a change? No. Here inside, that is a later, it's connected, but now, general.
Time.
So change, appearance, disappearance are time. Okay. Phenomena is the appearance and disappearance of the world. And what is appearance of a disappearance of the world is? That is change, time. So where are you there? Where do you live in this time? Or how can you say time? Time? Can you? How many times? What kind of times there are? You know? past, present, future. Okay, so three kinds of time. Now where do you live? Where do you live?
Present.
Always present. Always present, okay? You live always present. But let's see, present is present is, in other words, you can say what? In other words, present can be say what? Now, sure. Yeah, now. So now. So you are living always now, in nowness, constantly now. But you have to know a little bit what the nowness is. So, if you live now, if you live in nowness, there are two kinds of nowness. One is nowness following the time process. Nowness following the stream of time. Okay. This is nowness you live in. Second, nowness operating time. You operate time. Okay. Do you understand? Is that alright? The first one, time following the stream of time. Nowness, so following the stream of time means you are already right in the middle of the stream, okay? You cannot handle it. Completely you are there. So it looks like being on the board, okay? Being the board. But on the other end, so you cannot do anything, so you just be there and just go going. That is the one characteristic of nowness. So that's why I say nowness following the stream of time. Is that alright? The second, nowness you operate time means you should all the boat. In the Dendro Koan, not in the Dendro Koan, in Life and Death of Shobha Genza. You can Dogen Zenji explains. Life is just like a being on the boat, but you have to own the boat. Do you understand? Is that all right? So you cannot be always being on the boat. It means that you cannot always take up on the boat. Means you cannot take up always in the stream of time. So you have to do something right in the middle of stream of time. That is all to all the boat. That means I say nowness, you operate time. Is that all right? That, do you understand? Maybe English is not correct, but anyway. Okay. So the first one, nowness, following the stream of time, that is seen in terms of relation with the past and future. Right? Past and the future. That is. And also it is the... Can't you imagine what kind of noun is in relation with the past and the future? You are living there. Can you say what kind of noun? Can you imagine? No. In relation with past and future. and then you live in knowledge. This knowledge is, in terms of time, can't you imagine what kind of time?
A moment.
Huh?
A moment.
Right, moment. Exact moment. Right? Because in the stream of time, you are just there, on the board. So you are moving. But in the way you move, exactly there is a time process, means past, present, future. Okay? But your board and you and waters, all sentient beings are moving from moment to moment. That nowness is length of moment. The pre-shot, the length of moment, that is called nowness. You follow just stream of time. So from this point, well, if you say, I am here in knowledge, I am in the present, immediately that moment gone, because it becomes past. And then you say, oh, it's past. Immediately it comes, the future comes. The next moment comes up. The future comes up. So you say, your future comes into the present and then say, I got it. Immediately it's past. So that is called length of moment. It's very short. So you cannot grasp the moment exactly, alright? So moment is the samsaric world in which delusions are produced. Okay? From this moment, anyway, delusions comes up. Alright? So in the very short length of the time, so-called moment, we create, well, delusion, because we cannot live just following the very short period of time. Immediately we want to hold it. So that is called attachment. That's why that is delusion. So you cannot just follow it. But you are there. You live in the length of moment. So that's why samsaric world comes up. Samsaric world is created when you give rise to attachment in the stream of time. That is called attachment. Okay? But strictly speaking, even though you create attachment or you don't create attachment, your life is just going from moment to moment, leaving nothing, leaving anything, leaving anything at all, and leaving nothing at all. Okay? So you just go. But if you see the moment, immediately your discriminating mind says, moment, I got it. So immediately that is called touch. Okay? So that is samsaric world comes up. So that is the knowledge. What happens in the knowledge? Okay? What happens in the realm of the knowledge you live in? Okay? So your life is in the knowledge. Knowledge following the stream of time?
No.
You cannot control. You are just passengers on the boat, all sentient beings. With the grasses, crickets, and birds, and all sentient beings are completely on the boat. And that boat, and all sentient beings, and the water, boat, everything is in the time process. So nothing to control. So all you have to do is just be there, just go. But discriminating mind doesn't agree. So this is called attachment can be created. The second kind of knowledge, you offer time is, according to Umman Zen Master, I am using the time and not dragged away by time. So 24 hours, you are following the 24 hours, and that time you are living in the nowness, following that just a stream of time. Okay? But according to Umman, Zen Master, he said, I am not dragged away by 4 hours time. Okay? But he uses time. In other words, he can hold the boat. Right? That is the knowledge you can operate time. So you must be very subjective. But on the other hand, you cannot be subjective in time process because you just follow. But on the other hand, you must be very subjective. You should take initiative to act, to have activity. So this is the noun, you operate time. All right? That is the second noun. So this noun is that which is always enough, always, never changed, always there. What to say? Do you understand that one? You have a question about this? Knowledge? This kind of knowledge is that which is constantly always in knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So the second one there, not carried away by time.
No.
What does that mean? Seems like if you're not carried away by time,
that means that
it's not appropriate
and
you're really strict about the schedule.
Yeah, following the schedule. On that end, one is from a first noun, so you have to follow the schedule. But if all you have to do is just to follow the schedule. But you don't follow just the schedule. You want to do something else, and you hate the schedule, and very naturally, you don't want to follow the schedule. So that is called dragged away. Attachment. You create attachment. So very naturally, you look at the next schedule. And then you are really irritated. You understand that? Mm. You are very naturally, you are dragged away by the schedule. You lose the subjective. Very subjective, not subjective. Do you understand that one? Is that right? No? Can't you tell somebody? Can't you say something about it? About this? If you understand, say something about it.
Well, when time drags you away, you feel anxious about, instead of doing what you're supposed to do right now, you feel anxious about finishing it.
Yes, always anxious.
Well, it seems to me like following the schedule isn't following the flow of the stream of time.
It's just a flow. Just a follow the schedule. Being is just like a being on the boat. All you have nothing to do, just a follow. But if you don't do it, it's not actually.
Roberta, that's a perfect description, though. So as soon as you feel any slight disharmony, you can feel it inside, the slight little something's off, then you already are not in that nowness. You can feel it. You feel a little grating, something's uneven or something. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, in your life.
If you're finding the schedule to see exactly
what it's like, it's actually not your own.
The individual is full part of the schedule. No, you do. Subject. So we have subject schedule doesn't make sense. Okay. So you should subject to your little object so-called schedule, and then schedule doesn't care. You know, even though you follow or you don't follow, schedule is schedule. But you should follow the schedule. That then there is something happens between the subject and the object. Who creates something happens? Who creates something between the subject and the object? You. So object is a very natural, and something as it is. So you just follow the schedule. But you don't want to follow the schedule sometimes because. We are thinking, we have a lot of images, we have a lot of ideas, excitement, and imagination, many things. So if you see those schedules, so your mind goes away, thinking something. But a schedule obviously in front of you, that's why you have to come back, and so schedule pull you, as it catch you, takes you immediately. If you want to go somewhere, schedule takes you, catch you, and take you back to the schedule. So there is no subject here, no subjectivity here. All the schedules. You understand? At that time, you're really anxious about the schedule. So you naturally, you hate the schedule. You understand? Is that all right?
Well, it seems a little funny to me. Seems like there's, I understand what you're saying in general, but it seems like sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes it's unnatural to follow the schedule. It seems too thick sometimes. You know, so that you're rushing to dive in order to get peace of mind. And that doesn't seem, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think maybe the time is not always favorable things for you. Regardless of whether you feel favorable or unfavorable, time is going. And all you have to do is you just tune in to that rhythm of time. While monastic life and religious life and is try to guide the people to tune in to that rhythm of time. So sometimes you don't like. Sometimes it is not reasonable. Sometimes it is reasonable. So we have to experience both. You understand? And then you have to understand depth of human life, where you are. What is the stream of time? What is the change of human life? I don't think it is most important to what you feel. It is the schedule is very reasonable or unreasonable. It is a second love. But whatever you feel through that, the feelings and through that idea, you should understand where you are. This is monastic life. So sometimes your pretty busy schedule is very jammed, very busy. That's why at this weekend we have to arrange the schedule, okay? We do, don't you think so? In a monastery in Japan, completely no excuse in a monastery in Japan. Wherever you go, wherever you are, if you go to the monastery, you just follow. Even the busy, even the not busy, you, everyone follows in that way. That's it.
Well, that makes sense a little bit in terms of a Japanese monastery, because when you go in, you're a beginner. I'm talking about in a situation that's a little bit irregular, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is a pretty irregular. But in the realm of irregular situations, we try to be regular. We try to be regular and we try to normal.
I mean, I'm not just talking about the situation, I'm talking about how
Are you arguing for being the flow of things, or like the existence in the
So when you're talking about the stream of time, I just... Well, what would be natural, I think, would be conscious on a personal level. Also. On what is happening, being an object in context of that.
What do you measure it against?
You just have to make, you have the schedule, is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have the schedule, but that you make very personal choices.
Are you talking about, like, life in the city, and the train to go to bed in the night, but then something comes up in your life and you make choices?
That kind of thing.
I don't think that's what Roshi's talking about.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Mm.
Well,
what's your ego or is it shocked
a lot? It seems like you will always make impressions. No, it's not what you want to do.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
understand
what you said? So you mean the mindfulness?
Well,
I thought I was saying
Well, I didn't pay attention to exactly what you said.
Just that you create the situation, or you create your attitude in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a flustered attitude because you're late, or because it's a chaotic situation. It's not necessary to flush.
That is a mental affliction. Hmm? If you're worried about that. So, mindful of what is the mindfulness of what?
Well, if you practice mindfulness, you see that. See the situation, you have a chance to calm down and to not to create agitated states.
That's true. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant.
Oh. Is that all right?
I guess I don't understand what you mean.
That's what he means.
That's following the stream of time. That's what I meant.
What I was talking about too was, what does it mean? You operate time.
Or the book. All the books.
That means when you're late, like Mike said, you don't create frustration on top of that. You just say, oh, I'm late. And then mindfully, you know, design. That's owning the boat.
Okay. So what if you ring the bell late? You do the same thing?
Always, moment after moment.
Okay, so you ring the bell late, and then your teacher gets upset with you because you rang the bell late. That's what doesn't make sense.
No.
That's true. But, you know, I just can't understand it in the context of those two different situations.
Or in the boat.
Or rowing the boat.
The next time you had to ring the bell, you would try to create a situation where you would remember to ring the bell on time?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So from moment to moment you create. So if you see there's something wrong, well, you have to correct exactly in the next moment, you have to follow the stream of time as best as you can, instead of creating mental affliction constantly. We always add the mental affliction to the each moment that you follow the stream of time, because you have to all both. You know? All the board is you create. You create the world. You have to use the time anyway, constantly. So that is your world. But your world is exactly not right. It's not exactly wrong. You have to keep your eyes open to watch what's going on. Whether your life is exactly fitting into stream rhythm of the stream of time. So, because it is pretty easy for us to add mental affliction to the just rhythm of our stream. That's why that is, you have to all the board simultaneously. It is something wrong or it is something right. Okay? But it is not big deal anyway, whatever you see. Okay? So you have to live with all sentient beings in peace and harmony. Very naturally, you have to follow the stream of time anyway. Okay? That is the knowledge operating time. That's what I say. Is that all right? Any other argument?
Trying to follow that schedule, then you have an opportunity to see yourself struggling against it. You have the opportunity to work on the mental affliction, but know, go with the next one. You know, I'm agitated now, so I'm not going to go to God and I'm going to interfere.
Well, that's not what I meant. I mean, you're talking about it, but I guess the frustration comes in for me when everybody gets on my case for not getting something done on time. But I guess I have to learn how to deal with people getting on my case.
Dominic?
Well, if people were taking care of time, they wouldn't get on anyone's case. And what I mean, if an individual is not taking care of his own time, then it's easier for them to blame someone else when they think they're not taking care of time.
Okay.
You said that in the second type of knowledge, knowledge is always there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of knowledge where you operate now.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that if you're going to operate knowledge, you have to be thinking a lot about the past or the future, and kind of just judging and deciding what to do.
You subjectivity, as a subjectivity, use the time is not the activities in the relation with the subject and object. The subject must be one with object anyway. That is to use the time.
That seems to me to be an extreme
But dream is still going in the time process anyway, because that's why you can see the dream in the dream. You say it's a dream in the dream. But a dream itself is sometimes beyond the time, but it's still going in the time process. That's where you can realize dream in the dream. You see that? So to use you must be initiative in the stream of time means that you should be subjective always. You shouldn't lose the subjectivity. But if you're drowned away by time, you lose the subjectivity. Do you understand that one? Because obviously the object is there. If you, is that all right? Do you understand that one? If you work in the company, you're always concerned about the wages for getting the work, labor itself. But work itself is very important for you. Without working, you cannot get the wages. You know? But the people usually are always concerned about wages. That's where lots of complaint comes up. So, that means he is dragged away by the wages or money. You understand? If you say, I want to be rich by making money, this is also, that ambition is also dragged away by money, object. Alright? Or you say, I don't care the money. And then if you don't care the money, it is also you are dragged away by the money. You see that?
In order to not get dragged away, don't you need some distance?
If you are not drugged away, at that time you become one with object. So you can use the opportunity anyway, always. You become subjective, you become you, what you are, very subjective, subjective as subject. Can I say, for instance, when you do gassho, in terms of first knowledge, you say you always concern about form of gassho and background of the gassho and the custom of your life and concerned about the subject and the object, always. And then very naturally, that means you are really your life is really influenced by form of gesture, okay, as an object. So there is no subjective, so that means that you're always dragged away by form of gassho, history of gassho, or background of your life itself in relation with the gassho itself. So very naturally, there is no subjectivity. Understand? But if you become subjective, and using your object and time, at that time you become one with the gassho. That is a knowledge operating time. You understand?
Subjective is the same as settling the self on the self.
Yes, that's true. Okay. So subject, this is a subject, is not the subject opposed to another. This subject is not secondary. There is no secondary being. Okay? If you become a subject, you completely your subject in your whole life, the whole universe. That is called knowledge operating time. That means you become always subjective. But that's you as a subjective extending to all whole universe, because that's like helping everyone. Even though you don't say anything, but in words or in not words, anyway, that activity is like helping the people. You understand? That is knowledge operating time. That's when Umman says, I use the 24 hours. Instead of being dragged away by 24 hours. That's why I say this nowness is that which is always in nowness. Okay? So it's very stable. You settle yourself in the self, exactly. Okay? In gassho, okay? Because it is one mind, because it is one falling leaf, showing back and front, back and front. It's falling, constantly. That is a one picture, panorama picture of the universe, one mind, okay? And it shows front. That is, when you see the front, it is called gassho. When it is shown, sometimes it shows the back. That is called zazen. Okay? And then at that time, when you see the front, well, that's it. No back. Because back is behind. So all you have to do is the front. Front becomes whole world anyway. Whole world means activity. Okay? Falling. It's falling. But intellectually you can see just the front. So very naturally you separate front from the back. But not. Even though you cannot see the back, it's already with it, and totally they are working. So it's not necessarily discriminating. If you see the front, just the front, that's it. So all you have to do is just deal with the front, so go gassho, zazen, etc. That is called numbness, operating time. That's why it is always enough. Always you are always enough. That is, that makes you stable and secure, very secure. So called eternal now. Eternal now. The term is a big term, but practically you can do it. So eternal time is the one you as subjective is partless one, okay? Not without secondary being, okay? Secondary one, okay? Exactly you only one, but this one is exactly including the whole world. That is nowness operating time, okay? So it is the eternal world where there is no sense of time. At that time, no sense of time. Time is there, but no sense of time. Within the time, there is no sense of time. That is the activity and practice. Within the activity and practice, there is no sense of time, which makes your life very stable. But on the other hand, you have to keep your eyes open to the life in stream of time. Because you have to show that security in time process. But on the other hand, you cannot be anywhere dragged away by time process. You have to always show security, okay? Spiritual security, there. Spiritual security is very silent, quiet. But you have to show it. Where? Not eternal world, in the time process. Okay? So it's very contradictory, but it's exactly here and now. So that's why it is eternal world, where there is no sense of time. So it looks like speechless speech. No matter how long you speak about the nowness operating time, eternal nowness, well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't hit the mark. So it's very natural. There's lots of speech. Our speech about the eternal nowness is very speechless because it's simple practice anyway, every day. But that is, if you are free from attachment, you can dwell in the nowness where you are not dragged away by time. So from this point, the Buddha doesn't use his effort when he works upon all sentient beings. He just spontaneously works upon them as he really is. But however, when his working is seen in terms of eyes of all sentient beings, they believe that Buddha seems to live in the world of time. So this is his skillful method to save them. Buddha, is that all right? If a Buddha uses his effort in common sense, we ask, at that time that effort is made in the time process. Okay? But a Buddha's effort is not the usual effort, because he shows, he manifests himself in front of the all-sentient being as he really is, spontaneously or naturally, as it is, as he is. But in terms of human beings' eyes, we say, oh, Buddha's is in the time process and helping us, making every possible effort to help us. So that we believe. But this is Buddha's skillful method. Skillful method. Do you understand? This is Buddha's skillful method, because if he is completely, if you believe complete Buddha doesn't make effort as in the same way as we do, Buddha becomes very naturally something else apart from us. But Buddha himself exactly always doesn't make an effort. We do. Very natural is just stand up there and just facing, just in relation with all sentient beings, as natural as you can. So it is something different from a human being. But if we see Buddha, very natural Buddha is also, we believe very natural Buddha is, Buddha uses also almost the same effort we use. So that is, that's why, well, we can see the Buddha as the, with the form of a human shape, okay? Same human shape, same human world, same human consciousness, etc. So we believe in that way. Oh, Buddha's in human world. But that is Buddha's skillful method in order to guide all sentient beings to nirvana. If we don't, well, Buddha is far away. So we are not familiar with, we are not intimate with the Buddha. But Buddha himself is very stable. Spiritual security, exactly, no one knows. My spiritual security, no one knows what my spiritual security is. But I know. So I can do it. But that spiritual security is called Buddha. Okay? When that spiritual security is worked in my personal life, okay, at that time, that spiritual security is called Buddha. But that Buddha is complete, no one knows. If so, how can I say? How can I transmit this one? How can I help? But this spiritual security is right in front of all sentient beings. And then all sentient beings believe, oh, that spiritual security anyway has a human body, human thinking, as we have, in the same as we have. And then we feel intimate with this spiritual security. So through the word, that's why through the words we have to explain this about absolute truth. Even though it is inexplainable, we have to do it. So that is Buddha's skillful method. Okay? Buddha's skillful method. Compassion. Compassion. Do you have questions? Uh, say a little bit about this one, a little more of it. Well, do you have a question? Then we, anyways, learn the nowness, the two kinds of nowness. And maybe next time I will, let's say, a little bit why we have to, Buddhists may emphasize ignorance, in terms of time, I would like to say a little bit, you know. You have some questions?
Perfectionism. Or being, you know, abused by our parents, you know, to do it right. So it's just like Buddhist compassion that teaches us to just let it go and stay with us just a moment and take care of it.
And that's what we have to understand, the human life, the human consciousness, they said, because human consciousness operates in a very complicated way. So that is called ignorance in this book. You know, if you read page 50, you can see the technical term, sudden thoughts arise. Suddenly thoughts arise. So that thought, and in other words, discriminating mind is really working in a very complicated way. That's why we pretty easily create mental affliction. Through the mental affliction, we can create stress and confliction and anxiety and the fears and stress. And then finally people cannot escape from, you know, the stress and confliction and fears. Very naturally, we want to do something expressed, you know. And then that expression is varied. Sometimes during abuse, you know, sometimes violence.
In our efforts to try to do good, we come down on Mm-hmm.